latest episode of Locked On Sun, for a Locked On Podcast Network. Today's live host, Evan Sutter, and joined by a very special guest today's show, Zona Sports. As you guys know him on Twitter, AZ Sports Zone. Brandon, how you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no worries. And I really appreciate the support from our listeners and our followers on Twitter at Locked On PHX Suns, also via Reddit as well. Got a lot of support on this latest edition for our mailbag with Brandon. And we actually have a record number of questions here, around 30 or so, which is awesome. We're going to be in two separate episodes here because we got so many questions. So Suns fans, really appreciate that here. We're going to start off, though, before we dive in, Brandon, to the situation with our mailbag. As we get closer and closer to Orlando, how much more excited are you about seeing the Suns team in action?
I'm super excited. Obviously there's concerns with how this all plays out. You know, does it actually work? But if we actually get to watch 8 more games of Suns basketball, then, you know, sign me up. I'm having basketball withdrawals, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are as well, which is why you're listening to this. Yeah. So, I'm super excited, especially to see the progress of DeAndre Ayton, because we saw such a limited amount of games from him this year. Seeing how guys like Mikal and Cam step up as well. So definitely thrilled, and hope it works out.
Yeah, we're going to alternate here for the mailbag episode, listeners, going back and forth via the Twitter account and the Reddit account. And the first one's going to come from Twitter here, Brandon. It's from Kyle McDonald at Kyle McGriddle. And he asks about a very hot topic here because, of course, Victor Oladipo, the Pacers star, opted out of Orlando. And there's going to be obviously tremors going around with him. He was playing before this ended, almost like the Kelly Oubre situation. Even though Kelly didn't play games, he was healthy, maybe healthy enough to play. Oladipo actually was playing games. And Nate McMillan and Kevin Pritchard said earlier this week that they thought he was the healthiest he looked all season. So he decided to play it safe into a contract year. What do you think about Kyle's question here, Brandon, which is, what are your thoughts on acquiring Victor Oladipo for Ricky Rubio, their first-round pick, and Mikal Bridges?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. Super tough, just because, you know, the Suns have been trying to get that star to put next to Book for so long. And now that they have this opportunity to do so, someone like Oladipo makes sense if he pans out. But there's definitely the concerns. He's only played 49 games in the last two seasons. Obviously, the season being cut short kind of skews that number a little bit. But, you know, if you're going to trade for him, you have to be 100% confident in the medicals and that this guy's going to be able to play without any restrictions. And you also have to be confident that he wants to stay in Phoenix long term, because if you're giving up on someone like Mikal Bridges, who, you know, I'm super high on, I think he's the ultimate glue guy that will help elevate this team if you're building around Booker and Ayton. So I would have to say I would lean no at the moment, but that could change, like, if the medicals are clear and, you know, they could work out some sort of extension.
Yeah, I agree with you on Mikal. For this deal, Rubio, Bridges, and a first, I assume that's for the 2020 first-round pick. I wouldn't do that just because I value Mikal so highly, but this is what I've been thinking, Brian. I don't know about you, but I think if it's Kelly Oubre instead, and maybe you keep Rubio around, maybe you can do Kelly Oubre, Ty Jerome in their first-round pick, a lottery pick, so to say. I like that deal more for the Suns because, of course, Oubre's in a contract year. We value Mikal very highly. I think his upside is still very sky-high with this core. Do you think that the Pacers would buy someone like Kelly Oubre, even though they're acquiring, really switching out expirings for one another?
I think it depends on how much they value the pick, if you're sending that with Oubre, because, like, Oubre next to someone like Warren might not make the most sense for them. I think Mikal obviously makes a little bit more sense, but from Indiana's perspective, I don't think they'd pull the trigger. But then again, that's totally dependent on how their front office views Oladipo's value and how high they are and where the Suns are picking whenever the lottery takes place and all that. So there's a lot of variables to kind of factor in, but I would do it for Kelly for sure. Mikal, like, I'm with you there. I would have to decline, which sounds crazy after, you know, all the stars the Suns have been, like, hunting over the years, but I think they've come this far. So you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket if you're not supremely confident that it's going to pan out.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. I think Oladipo could be a player who's more so maybe free and one that the Pacers want to get up on him just yet, because I think this could have been their year, so to say, to make a run in the playoffs. Maybe they just try to run it back again before Oladipo ends his contract next year in 2021. But we're going to go over ready here for our next question, Brandon, which is from at Sodbino. If Cam Johnson shows improved play and chemistry with the starters, do you see James Jones moving on from Kelly Oubre? Does it make it an easier decision for James Jones to do that? Because we've already seen McHale in February, March really start to take that leap before the season went on pause. I think he's going to continue to show that in Orlando and next season. But Monty Williams really had a lot of praise for Cam Johnson on the conference call earlier this week. He said he gained some weight. He looks a lot better fluidity-wise. His moves have improved on both sides of the ball. So if Cam Johnson does show out in Orlando, Brandon, does that give you more confidence? Maybe the Suns themselves have more confidence that they could really lock in on the duo of Cam and McHale being the really two-for-one price-wise when you look at Kelly Oubre and his money coming up for next summer?
Yeah, I think it could definitely help as far as making Kelly expendable. I do think you can never have enough wings, especially in this league. And we saw how effective the lineup was with Oubre, Bridges, Ayton, Booker, and Rubio. So you kind of have to keep that in the back of your mind as well. But if Cam really has a breakout, you know, like 8 games in Orlando, then it could definitely tip the scale towards, you know, maybe they're not invested in paying Oubre next offseason, which in that case, you know, putting him on the trade block would make sense if they're not committed to him long term. But yeah, that's kind of my take on that.
Next one here is off of Twitter once more, and it's from at Suns Country. And he asked, what's our favorite free agent fit in Phoenix that no one's really talked about? So we've hit on a lot on this show, Gallinari, Christian Wood, Jeremy Grant. Who's an underrated piece maybe to you, Brandon, who can make sense for the Suns team if they were to go after, let's say, a power forward or really any other position? Who's one that you really like that really is flying under the radar right now?
So probably I would have to say Joe Harris is someone that I really like the fit, just because you could play him next to Rubio or Booker. And, you know, the second unit desperately needed any type of shot creation and floor spacing, which Harris is a career 42% three-point shooter, former three-point champ. He's not a ball stopper, which is another important thing. He keeps the ball moving. Like, he's not a playmaker by any means, but, you know, he's someone that, like I said, you know, if, say Booker misses a couple games and he's day-to-day or something, he could also step in that role and start alongside Rubio. And all of a sudden you're looking at a team that could possibly take a game or two with Booker out, which is something I don't think since Book's been here, you would have ever dreamed of. Because when he's out, they're pretty much screwed. So Joe Harris is someone that I like a lot. And then Bryn Forbes to a lesser extent as a backup guard to kind of help with the floor spacing and shooting alongside Cam Johnson off the bench.
Yeah, I really like the Joe Harris one. That makes an awful lot of sense. I know David Nash in our 7 Seconds or Less kind of reunion show last week, he talked about Joe Harris, and I really love the fit the more you brought up as well, Brandon, because I don't know if he accepts that role off the bench, so to say, at the Suns, because I think he might get starter money elsewhere, but the fit and the way that James Jones prioritized that perimeter shooting, it makes a ton of sense. He checks a lot of Suns boxes there. But one I also wanted to hit on that I mentioned last week, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well, Brandon, is Jordan Clarkson. He had a great year in Utah this past year. Kind of fits that combo guard role that the Suns are looking for, and maybe that spark plug off the bench as well. Kind of covers two boxes in one, so to say. I know Clarkson is not a good defender at all, but the Suns desperately need some spark off of that bench, and Clarkson can play with Booker, play with Rubio, and he could also really give you that 12 to 15 points per game off the bench if you need to.
Yeah, that could definitely be a boost for the bench as well. Like you said, he's not the best like playmaker or defender, but just in terms of a team that desperately needs scoring off the bench, like we saw somehow like how rough some of those stretches were at times with the second unit. So Clarkson makes sense from that perspective. He wouldn't be like my first or second choice, but if they wound up with him, I certainly think it could help.
Next one from Reddit here for you, Brennan, from J Martinez 9021. Being as a new state-of-the-art practice facility will be done pretty soon, do you guys think it will have a significant positive impact on player recruitment, or is the better reputation over the years for management still haunt the franchise in the Suns?
Yeah, I think it could definitely help. It won't hurt, that's for sure. I mean, you look at Brooklyn, what they've done. Obviously, Phoenix and Brooklyn are different markets, but you know, Brooklyn wasn't like a first-class organization, and then all of a sudden they – you know, they overachieve one year and have some young pieces, and they're able to go out there with a new practice facility and recruit Kyrie and KD. So, you know, if Booker and Ayton keep improving, I think the internal improvements are probably the most important thing. That's what's going to attract free agents at the end of the day, is winning. But when you have the like new practice facility to kind of use as like a, you know, something to throw at free agents as a sweetener, then it could definitely put someone over the top. So I think it should help for sure in recruiting.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the Suns, they've been desperately needing a facility upgrade for a while. Being around the facility as much as I have the last couple of years and seeing really compared to other teams, even like Indiana, for example, they have a state-of-the-art facility that's helped them out a little bit as well. These teams are now around the league really starting to play catch-up with each other, and Phoenix has been lagging behind in that sense. They've been using their underground practice facility in the arena. It's just a practice court. There's really nothing much to it except a few weight rooms in the side. It's very small, very compact, and this new state-of-the-art facility, from what I've seen from the drawings, I think it's going to be a really great spot for them, and a great location too in Scottsdale, which will really help out, I think, in recruiting as well, like you mentioned, Brandon. But going back to Twitter here from Durag Wallace, what's your guys' thoughts on Alonzo Trier? We still have an open roster spot, and I think the fit is too perfect there. Brandon, what do you think about Trier?
So Trier, he kind of fits that Clarkson mold where he's not going to bring much besides scoring. He's good at it. And he's young too, so there's some upside. I think I'd rather look for someone a little more proven though, just because you look at this roster, the way it's constructed, there's so many like unproven guards as it is. I'm not sure it's the best gamble to take another guard like that. You know, he does make sense just with his scoring ability and like their need off the bench, but I think I'd rather go after like a veteran presence that is more of a sure thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think Trier is a big roll of the dice there just because he had one good year in New York, kind of maybe it was a flash in the pan, so to say. And this past year with the Knicks, he struggled to get in their rotation. David Fizdale and the interim coach as well there did not really seem to take fondly of Trier. And maybe that's just a warning sign to those around the league that maybe his fit and his role might not be the best elsewhere. And with the Suns, he makes sense as like a project. If you want to try to develop him a little bit more, he does make sense. Maybe he could battle a guy, Ty Jerome, Ilya Okobo, Javon Carter for those backup minutes. But I think, like you mentioned, going after a more veteran option, one is going to be more stable right off the bat. I think it makes more sense for this team. But moving on to our next question here, it's also from Durag Wallace, the two-parter here. Brandon, I'll give you the floor for this one because I think you put out some more NBA draft content this week over on your Twitter account. What do you look for when you're scouting guards, wings, and bigs overall?
That's a tough question. I think every prospect's different, so you kind of have to – you can't get too set on – looking for specific things. It's like for every prospect, you have to look at them as like a blank canvas, I would say. You should also learn, you know, from past cases as well. But you shouldn't put too much stock into like what past players have done. So I think for guards specifically, you want someone that has a quick first step that can get to the rim. That's super important. And, you know, their playmaking, can they pass? Not only can they pass, but can they pass from all three levels on the court? And obviously the versatility of their shot is very important. Can they shoot off the dribble, catch and shoot? And then for forwards, I would say just versatility on defense and ability to finish through contact are just a couple of things I look for. And then for bigs, I think the most important thing in today's game is like just the ability to not get played off the floor. And having high IQ bigs that can, you know, keep an offense running sort of like as a second engine, they could run the offense through and just not get played off the court in the playoffs. You know, rim protection is huge. And if they can space the floor, then that's just a plus as well. So it's kind of a tough question to answer all at once. But yeah, that's just my basic recap.
Yeah, that's a good synopsis there from you, Brennan. And I really agree with all your points there, so I'm going to let your points stand there. But I wanted to ask you just about this example from the 2017 draft. And for me, this player really helped change my mindset as far as scouting goes, because the pre-draft process, the one like the sure lock, so to say, he's going to be so versatile, he's going to be a great defender. How much has Josh Jackson changed your overall scouting approach? Because for me, I think he's like the one that I thought, okay, he's going to be a lockdown defender in the NBA. He's going to focus on defense mostly, not offense, but he comes in the NBA. His first years at the Suns, he's more of a chucker. He takes a lot more shots per game, even more so than like a player like Kelly Oubre did in the first part of his tenure with the Suns. And he really helped change my mindset as far as like, do not trust the pre-draft information too much as far as players can change if they want to on the next level. And how much did that Jackson ordeal change how you look at prospects?
Yeah, that's a really good case to bring up. You know, with him, I was, you know, the whole Swiss Army knife type of role. for someone that's been a star practically their entire life. Like you look at Jackson in high school, his mixtape, you know, he was the guy. In Kansas, you know, he's a five-star, one like top five pick. You know, he was the guy there. So now he's coming to the NBA and he's going to take the backseat to Booker when, you know, he's been the guy this whole time. So it's an adjustment in his role. So that's why I think just projecting their role a little bit more, like what specifically are they going to be doing? And is it what they did in college or high school? And then also just his frame, like I kind of ignored because I was super high on Jackson as well. That's a miss for me. And I mean, I haven't completely given up on him. Still super young, showed some flashes there in Memphis, and I think there's still a chance he becomes a quality NBA player. But you know, his frame was not NBA ready, and I kind of ignored that a little bit. So that's just another thing to kind of look for with wings like that. You know, just adding strength and just like how can they guard bigger wings and forwards on the perimeter and down low as well. So just kind of a mix of all that, I would say.
Next question here is back on Reddit. I'm going to combine two questions here from Krusty Goat and LongPips1000, the users over there on Reddit. It's about Aaron Baines here, Brandon. And they're asking about, do you think Baines will re-sign with the Suns? And how much do you think is too much when trying to re-sign him? Because I think he should be a priority this offseason, to be honest, Brandon, because I think him coming back for a one-year deal when you're trying to keep his continuity together, Baines showed this past year that he really is a legitimate big in this league. He's a really very much improved force based on what we saw in Boston. He can go off and be a great leader in the locker room as well, be a great second unit player, in a pinch be a starter as we saw throughout DeAndre Ayton's suspension this past year. So I think something like 1 year to $6 million makes a lot of sense. He makes $5.5 million this year, so I don't know if I'd go too much higher on the pay raise there, Brandon, but do you think Baines should be a priority for them?
Yeah, I'd love to bring Baines back. You know, I think he's a perfect backup center, and part of the reason I think he got injured early on is they just kind of overworked him a little bit with the Ayton suspension. So, you know, if you can play him 15, 20 minutes a night, you're getting like premier, like quality backup minutes at your center spot. And not only that, I think he was a huge like reason why DeAndre Ayton had, you know, the breakout season defensively that he did, just learning from Baines. He's a great mentor in the locker room, veteran. He's been on championship teams. So I'd love to bring him back. Obviously, there's going to be contenders that will love to bring him in as well. I think a lot of them are going to be trying to sign him for that, you know, mid-level exception at around $5 million. So you're probably going to have to do a little bit more than that to convince him to come to a team that maybe isn't a contender right now. So, yeah, I'd love to bring him back. I would say anything over, you know, $8 to $10 million is probably pushing it. But yeah, it's the market's going to be a lot different this year as well. There's not as much cap space as usual. There's only projected to be about $200 million between all the teams this year, whereas last year there was $600,000. And I just think it's going to be a completely different ballgame.
Next question here is from Twitter again, and it's from ForSnake76 at DHop8Shilpa. Brandon, should the Suns try to trade for a starter fast forward this rebuild or and finally make the playoffs? And if so, which star should they try to consider trading for?
I think that's probably their best route to get into playoffs is just by going after one quality star. But the problem is, obviously, there's not too many options. Bradley Beal is someone that I've seen a lot on Suns Twitter. I'm not sure they have the pieces to get him from Washington, just because obviously Booker and Ayton aren't going anywhere. You know, if they include Mikal and some combination of their pick and a couple other pieces, they can get it done. But I just don't think they line up too well to trade for someone like him. I would love to get a star, but basically my short answer is I'm not sure they really line up as well as that as they should, unless they like jump up in the lottery or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to take an awful lot, like we were saying, trading Mikal, maybe trading Kelly along with him or Cam Johnson. You're getting rid of multiple wings as well and probably multiple picks on top of that to even be in the ballgame with some of these other teams who have a lot of assets in tow. The Suns let go of a lot of their assets this past summer, trading all their second-round picks through 2022. They also let go of a lot of other smaller pieces that I think could have helped out in these kind of situations. But let me ask you, throw back on you the first one, Brandon. Would you rather try to acquire Oladipo for maybe a smaller price or Bradley Beal for a bigger price? Because we had the big question with Oladipo and his injury now.
I would say Oladipo, just because if I have to pick between the two, they're going to be giving up a lot for Beal, and there's obviously the defensive concerns with him. And I think with a fully healthy Oladipo, like if it pans out, that's, you're going to get to the playoffs. Like there's no question. Like, I don't care about the fit, like his defense and his ability to kind of play second fiddle next to Booker would elevate this team in the West. And that's kind of the push they need. I think Beal would make them a dynamic offensive team, but then the questions of defense and just, you know, playing two guys that, you know, like what's going to happen with Rubio there. And there's just a lot more questions with adding Beal than I think there is Oladipo. Obviously the main thing with Depot is just the health. If he's like fully healthy, that's a swing. That's a home run swing that elevates the team.
Suns fans, hope you're all enjoying this mailbag as much as I am so far. Brandon, Zona Sports, you can follow him again on Twitter at AZ Sports Zone. We're going to hit on our sponsors there really quickly as we move on into the second part of our show today. And our first sponsor is Magic Spoon. MagicSpoon.com/NBA. Go over there right now and try a variety pack because they have so many great flavors for their new snack they have. And it's the best part of being a kid is I had to go up on maybe a little too much sugar in the junk, but with Magic Spoon, they offer really routine breakfast and really easy cereal that you can make. Growing up, cereal was one of my favorite things, but nowadays I had to get off that because as we see more and more out there using too much sugar, too much of the really bad stuff for you. But Magic Spoon does change the game here. Zero sugar with 12 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. And they have 4 great flavors too: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. And it tastes amazing as well. Honestly, too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carbon, GMO-free. A lot of really great stuff there, Suns fans. You want to take advantage of it because it's a snack that will tide you over throughout the day and make you want to have more and more of Magic Spoon. So go to magicspoon.com/NBA to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code NBA at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money and no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/NBA and use the code NBA for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon as well for sponsoring the podcast. Blinkist has changed the game, Suns fans. They make really the spark notes of nonfiction books nowadays. It's really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, your web browser, and it takes the best key takeaways and need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condense them down just 15 minutes so you can read or listen to them right away. You know sometimes how you can read books and maybe it takes a couple weeks, a couple days, or if you're listening to like an audiobook, it takes a little bit. 15 minutes is really no time at all. It's half the time of this podcast. If you're driving in your car, or you're eating breakfast, you're out walking your dog, you can really use it anywhere. I love Blinkist because it's so versatile. I can, like I mentioned, go anywhere with this and have it all done within a 15-minute time frame. And there's great books as well on here in many genres like psychology, biography, and memoirs, management, leadership, and career success, and even more than that as well. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books and all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for just our Locked On Suns audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST.com/NBA to start a free 7-day trial. And you also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Be back to you guys in just a second to start off segment 2 of our show. Next one, going back to Reddit here, Brandon, and it's from Yosemite Hills. So there are 5 backup point guards on this roster, which means a trade is likely coming this offseason. What kind of package will it be, and who do you think stays and goes between these players? Jalen Lecque, Ty Jerome, Elia Kobo, Cam Payne, or Javon Carter? I'll start off with this one, Brandon. I feel like, honestly, I think Jalen Lecque stays around because I think he's going to be mostly in the Nats Suns next year. He's still under contract for another couple of years. Ty Jerome, I think, is up in the air for me as well because he didn't really show much this past year. I think Elia Kobo is gone. I think he is non-guaranteed for next year, so I think they're going to cut and waive him to save some salary cap space there. He kind of fell out of favor at the end of the season there. Cam Payne as well, I don't know if he'll be around. I imagine his contract for next year is non-guaranteed. And Javon Carter, I could see just them keeping him around because Monty seems to take a fawning for him. He loves his defense. He loves his mentality, and he's a restricted free agent this year. Bring him back for, like, I think his restricted tag is $1.7 million, so it's not much at all. Keep him around for the next couple of years. I could see maybe Lecque staying around, being in Naz all next year. And then everyone else outside of Javon Carter, for me, isn't up in the air. But if I had to pick, I'd probably go Lecque, Jerome, and Carter. How about you?
Yeah, that's I'm with you on Lecque. He's not going anywhere. They're fully invested in his development. So, you know, I think he's going to stick around for at least the next couple of years. They're pretty high on him. And Kobo, obviously – the thing with him is he has a very cheap option. So it's not, you know, if they do move someone like a Ty or they plan on letting Carter go, then maybe picking up a Koba just as like a cheap depth options in play. But I'm probably going to lean towards them just, you know, renouncing all the rights of the guys like him and Diallo and probably even Frank Kaminsky, just so they can free up that cap space. So I'd say to Ty Jerome, sort of up in the air. Didn't show much last year, but, you know, he's still one of James Jones's fresh picks from last season. So I could see him not giving up on him. And then the campaign, I don't see him as a long-term option really here. So if I had to rank it, I'd say LeCue's for sure going to be back. Ty Jerome, I would probably lean towards him being more likely to return than a Kobo. And then Javon Carter just depends on what he gets in the restricted free agency. I could see them bringing him back for something cheap as well. So
moving on back to Twitter again, Brandon, and I actually had a few questions of the same one here. Talk about Archer, we talked about last week on the Suns or Less reunion show, David Nash and Max McCauley. And a lot of people really like this idea. I want to get your thoughts on it. The Lauri Markkanen plus Tomas Satoransky for Kelly Oubre trade, where you go to Chicago, Markkanen and Satoransky come to Phoenix. What's your thoughts on that kind of trade? If you're going to get off Oubre this summer, you'd hope it'd be for a bigger name and maybe a bigger star player who could help elevate this team. Like we're talking about the old deep over a Beal, maybe he's like the sweetener in that package and the big salary filler. But what's your thoughts on maybe a smaller deal where you send Kelly out for maybe a better fit long-term with Markkanen being the floor spacer and being a more accurate floor spacer, and also Tomas Satoransky kind of settling down that backup point guard spot?
Yeah, that's tough. I like Markkanen. I think he's a lot better than what he showed in Chicago this year. It's just kind of a mess there all around. And Satoransky would add some stability to the backcourt that they desperately need. So I think if they're not planning on paying Oubre, it's something that can definitely make some sense. I do have some concerns about the defensive fit with Markin and Nathan, just because not too many teams are running out like, you know, like behemoth type, like fours and fives. And, you know, Markin's not the worst defender in the league, but he's also not going to be someone that offers a versatility that Oubre does defensively. And as we saw, like with Ayton, you know, the best lineups you could put out there defensively were guys like Bridges and Oubre on the wing. So it kind of does bring that in question. I think just it would make the team better all around just because you're improving the depth and, you know, the shooting as well. But it's not as perfect as a fit as I think some people are making it out to be.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think it makes sense to maybe pass on that. But I could see the Suns pulling a trigger there just because Satoransky, even like more in the situation than Markkanen, because I love his contract. The next couple of years, I think the last year's deal is also partially guaranteed there, only a 50% guaranteed. So I think he would help sit on the point guard position. Markkanen obviously is a roll the dice there, but if he does hit and become like a 40% three-point shooter, help space the floor in a lower usage role, I really like that fit. So it's something that we'll obviously explore more as we get deeper in the offseason there. But I want to go back to Reddit for this next one, Brandon, because an interesting couple names here free agency-wise that old Buck wanted to hit on with us. What's your thoughts on Fred VanVleet and Christian Wood?
I like VanVleet a lot. I just don't – with Ruby on the roster and the amount of cap space they have, I don't see it as being like a realistic option. You know, if they moved Rubio or something and got creative, obviously they can make it work. Right now, they're looking at about $24.6 million in cap space if they renounce all their guys. So VanVleet's going to be expensive, and they have a lot of holes to fill. So I'm not sure that's a realistic fit, even though I would like him in Phoenix, obviously. But Christian Wood, I think, you know, he really started to break out towards the end of the year in Detroit once they freed him up. I'm just not – like, same thing with, like, Markkanen. He's a little bit – like, can you actually play him with Ayton? I would trust Markkanen more than Wood, just because I'm a lot more sold on his shooting ability, even though Wood showed some flashes of it. But yeah, I'd be happy with either one. I just wouldn't go too many years or too much money on Wood, just because it's such a small sample size that he had of really showing he's an effective player, and it's also in a bad team. So how is he going to do in like a lesser role?
Yeah, I really agree with you on the Wood part. And it's crazy to say he was actually on the Suns Summer League team in 2017. And he actually looked better than Marquese Chriss and Dragan Bender did during those kind of games and those scrimmages before they left to Vegas. And really opened my eyes to who he would be. And finally, he's breaking out 3 years later with the Pistons, averaging really 20 and 10 over the last couple months of the season for the Pistons. But what do you think about his fit? Like, we just talked about Lauri Markkanen. Do you like his fit better next to Ayton than you would Markkanen?
In some ways, I would, just because I think he's a little bit better of a rim protector. But offensively, I think Markkanen fits what James Jones likes to do a little bit more. Wood is just kind of like an energy guy. He's going to try to dunk everything. You know, he's a good rebounder as well. So there's pros and cons to each of them. I don't think either is a perfect fit. If I had to pick between the two, I'd probably lean Markkanen right now, just because I think he has a little bit of a higher upside. It's close. That's a good question.
Next one is back on Twitter here, and it's from Devin Johnson at Devin_J14. Do you think the Kelly Oubre trade talk from fans is justified, or do you think we're undervaluing his importance to the Suns inside and outside the locker room, and should we focus more on retaining him next summer?
Yes and no. I think they should definitely look to trade him, just because he's an expiring contract, and I do think they need to, evaluate their long-term plans and like how they actually want to build this team. If they're set on doing the Mikal and Kelly, wing combo next to Aiton long-term, then obviously, they shouldn't trade him and just, plan on re-signing him, which kind of changes their whole outlook of this offseason. But, I think there's definitely a case for him to stay, just because he fits with the timeline's age. He's got the energy, he's a fan favorite. And, their best lineup was when he was on the floor. So there's definitely a case to keep him. But if they're not planning on that, then this is the summer they need to get something for him now. Because if they wait till the trade deadline, things go bad, then, you're not going to be getting the same value as you would this summer, or I guess fall now.
Yeah. It's definitely, the timelines have changed with the COVID-19 going on, and we'll see in the fall, in September, October time. It looks like October, excuse me, when the offseason will officially begin. And a lot of stuff happening at once with the lottery, the draft, the free agency, trade season. It's going to be a lot of fun in October. But I agree with you on that point as well, Brandon, just as far as you have to explore that option. We saw the smoke around him in Orlando in February. The Magic reportedly were inquiring about him. Maybe it was an Aaron Gordon type swap, and the Suns were not about that, but that does mean the Suns are at least taking calls on Oubre, or at least listening what teams who are trying to offer stuff. So I think it's something we're going to keep monitoring as we get closer and closer to October here. But moving back over to Reddit as for a second, Brandon, because it's an interesting question. DeAndre Ayton actually answered this question on his media call earlier this week on Zoom, and he said, quote, he's shooting his three ball like he is a midi now, which is a mid-range shot. And we know his mid-range shots are a little inconsistent sometimes, Brandon, but how important is it, and it's from Suns fan Juan, will Ayton finally start shooting threes, and how important is that for his development?
I think it's definitely going to help. I don't think he should ever be like a high-volume three-point shooter, because it's not where he's going to be most effective, but it's just about respect from the defense. Like, he already has the gravity in the interior, so if you can expand that and just make defenses respect you, like, he doesn't have to shoot like 40%. He can shoot 35%, just league average. Take a couple a game, just keep the defense honest. And if he keeps improving with his, like 1-2 dribble moves, like that'll open up an entire different like aspect of his game and self-creation that this team desperately needs next to Booker. Because if DeAndre is going to be a top 10 guy, he's going to have to at least be a threat out there. Or he's going to have to become like an all defensive center. So there's, if you can do a little bit of both, then great. But I definitely think the three-pointer is going to come. It's just a matter of, like, when at this point.
Yeah, for me, it's just like NBA math at this point. Like, we saw in the Milwaukee game this past year when Ayton, I think, took, like, 27 shots and, like, over half of them from mid-range. He was clinking a lot of them, an inefficient night for Ayton. And I was thinking to myself, why not at least just shoot half of those from three? And if you at least hit, like, 25, 30% of those, it's more points than you'd already have from shooting all those mid-range jumpers. 3 points worth.
Exactly.
So I think with that, just maybe shoot 2 or 3 times a game from three instead of 3 or 4 times from mid-range. I just think the math speaks for itself here in the modern NBA that Ayton should expand his range. And do you think that should come right away, Brandon? Like, you looking more towards 2020, 2021? Or is that more just a long-term play with Ayton? Like, hopefully, eventually, he gets it.
So I think in Orlando, like, is there a better stage for you to, like, practice and just try new things? Especially, like, let's say they're eliminated mathematically by game 4. And, these last 4 games, like, why not go out there and try to experiment with that? Like, you have nothing to lose at that point. And that's kind of, his ankle injury last season really cost him, like, some of that, late season run where guys will experiment with stuff like that. So I think we kind of lost that. And then obviously the suspension this year and then another injury. It's kind of really just slowed down his overall progress on that. So I think in Orlando, he should, like, I'm going to be mad if he doesn't attempt a three. I'll say, like, I will be upset. He can't make that quote. He's shooting it like a midi and then just go to Orlando and not shoot at all. So I think I speak for most Suns fans when I say I want to at least see him attempt a few threes in Orlando.
Yeah, I'm totally there with you. At this point, he's got to back up his words, and he's mentioned it multiple times before, and he hasn't delivered. And I think this time, with the motivation and the on the line for Aiden and the Suns team, I think it's time to back up those words on DeAndre's part and at least attempt a couple of threes and make it really a more steady diet of his offensive attack there. But we've gone through this pretty quickly, Brandon, so we can just finish it off here with the last couple of questions here. Appreciate the time as always, man. And it's a little couple free agency questions as well as about Devin Booker we'll hit on at the end. But this one is from Twitter at BigBird1182. What do you think about bringing back Goran Dragic for another reunion tour, Brandon?
I would always, like, happily welcome the Dragon back in Phoenix. I think that at this point, though, at this stage of his career, I don't see him coming here to be a backup. I think it makes a lot more sense from his perspective to go to contender. He's at the point of his career where, you know, he's probably going to want to win a ring. And if he's going to take, like, the back seat to someone like Rubio, it's going to be, like, on a team that has a real chance to win a title. So while I would welcome him back in Phoenix, I don't see it being a realistic option just from his perspective.
Suns fans, I know you want to save money when you have issues with your car because that can take a lot of money out of your pocket, but Rock Auto helps change that a lot. Go to rockauto.com because compared to their competitors, they save you so much money. Like a fuel pump assembly, for example, is $355 at the big chain stores, but rockauto.com, it's $217. That saves a lot of money in your pocket and really keeps you coming back for more because they're cheaper than their competitors and they always offer the lowest price available on anything, whether it be carpets, just regular old tires, a fuel pump assembly like I mentioned, or even deeper stuff than that, like an engine module. They have all that for much cheaper price than the competitors, and it's great quality and even better quality than what the big competitors have as well. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto part customers online for 20-plus years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Which, if you're a classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate, and you can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and price you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals, do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much money for the same parts? You can just go to RockAuto.com and write "Locked On" in their "How'd You Hear About Us" box, and they'll send you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. Again, go there right now and write "Locked On," LOCKEDON, in their "How'd You Hear About Us" box, so they'll know we sent you.
I'm right there with you. I think he's going to want maybe not big money, so to say, but if he's not wanting big money in a starter role, he's going to want to go to a legit contender. The Suns obviously are not there yet. So maybe he goes ring chasing next summer. I'd love to see Goran get a ring. And maybe he goes somewhere like a Golden State to be a backup to Steph Curry, or he goes somewhere like Los Angeles. That'd be a lot of fun to replace maybe Rajon Rondo there. So we'll see where Dragic goes, but I doubt it'll be in Phoenix. But going back to Durag Wallace here, he had a couple more questions for us. What non-Suns players are you most interested in watching this bubble environment? I think for me, I'd go Dame Lillard. I think he's going to go off in this environment.
Yeah, I can see that. They're going to be hungry too. I would say for me, it's probably, I mean, this is like pretty obvious, but just Zion versus Ja. Like, I think the Grizzlies, Blazers, like you mentioned with Dame, and then the Pelicans with Zion, those three teams are really going to have a lot to play for, and they all have a chip on their shoulder. So I think just watching that race for the 8 and 9 seed in the West is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's going to be really fun to see what happens to the 8-9 seed. I know Memphis has some separation now, but I know a lot of national people are talking about how New Orleans can make a run here. And from the picture I saw of Zion on Twitter, I know it really circulated around the NBA Twitter a couple of days ago, him in the weight room. He looks like a completely different guy. He's lost a lot of weight, added more muscle mass. So we could be in for a really fun Zion run there. I agree with you on that one, Brandon. But next one here off of Twitter as well, from the Ashes 761, Chris Cronister. This is a good one for you, Brandon, because I know you've been high on some of the late guys in this draft in the second round. Do you think the Suns will trade back or purchase another draft pick late in the second round to address multiple positional needs while minimizing costs for the future? Are there any specific trade back scenarios that fit ideally, or maybe ones that you could purchase a second round pick for?
Yeah, I think I could definitely see them doing that this year, especially if, you know, because they're going to have some back end of the roster depth they're going to have to add. And I would say specifically, there's two teams that make a lot of sense as trade partners. One is Philadelphia. They have 4 second round picks, which, I mean, that's just ridiculous. They're not going to use all of them. And if they do, they're probably going to do some draft and stashes. So I could definitely see Philly as a partner that James Jones makes the call to and tries to add a late round pick. And then the Pelicans have 3 second rounders as well. And they just last summer, they added like a bevy of, you know, young talent. So I don't see them realistically keeping all those picks as well. So I'd say Philadelphia and New Orleans are probably the two logical trade partners for Phoenix on draft night.
Yeah, I hope we see some action on draft night as far as picks go, but just from what James Jones has said to us in the past and just the way it seems like he doesn't value the draft as much as Ryan McDonough does, I think the Suns are pretty content with just keeping their one pick. Maybe I'd love to see him trade back. I know the more I watch this player, the more I love Kyra Lewis, and you can get him maybe later on in the lottery or in the early to late teens. I think he makes a lot of sense. And CJ Holmes, also of The Athletic, mentioned earlier this week on Wednesday that he likes the Nico Mannion fit here in Phoenix. He thinks that he can really mold himself from Rubio. Maybe if the Suns like him that much, you could probably trade back into the late 20s, early teens, and get a guy like Nico. I think that can make some sense for this roster as well. Next one here is from at Midjoso on Twitter, and he says, do you think any Suns trades will happen before the start of the next season? I think we both agree there could be. So I'm going to twist it around for you, Brandon. Over under 0.5 trades made by the Suns this offseason.
I'll take the over. Even though the way the roster is structured, it might be something smaller than a lot of fans are wanting. I think they're definitely going to try to find a way to do something creative, even if it's something smaller. Could even be with their pick. You know, obviously the Luke Kennard trade is something that they could revisit. I think just depending on where they land in the lottery is also going to play a huge factor as well. So I'm going to take the over on that one.
I'm going to go over as well. I think I'm going to go 2. I think they do end up making a bigger trade this offseason as well as making a smaller one. The margins, maybe it's on draft night. Maybe it's late in the offseason. But I'm going to go 2. I could see a player like Oubre being moved in a bigger deal. I think the more I talk about it, the more I'm kind of buying myself into them, really seeing Cam and Mikhail being the cheaper long-term options there. But if Kelly does play well and they want to keep him around, I'd love to explore that more if they want to do that in 2020, 2021. But the next one here is also from Twitter. And it's talking more just about – not only free agency fits, but looking at the draft as well, you see players really looking at this from a contract standpoint. And it's from Jay at Jumpman_452. Going off what we know now, what do the contract extensions of Mikal Bridges and DeAndre will look like? What does DeAndre have to do next season to gain a max contract? I think DeAndre will be a max contract. Brandon, whatever he does next season, if it's 19-12 and he just stagnates a little bit, I think he can still earn that max contract because the Suns at this point have the luxury to pay him like that. And you hope you can bank on that with the ability of him continuing to develop and hit his peak later on. Mikhail's more interesting than me, Brandon, because I think he's a great defender, but his offense hasn't shown up as much yet. It did late in the year, but defensive like not is not as valued as much around the league as we think it is. So maybe something like $14 to $15 million per year makes sense for Mikhail, but how about you?
Yeah, I think DeAndre is pretty much a given. As long as he still has 2 arms and 2 legs, he's going to walk into the next contract. Mikhail is just – I think that's a fair range price-wise. Obviously, we don't know exactly what the salary cap's going to look like with the whole pandemic and just it kind of twists everything. But, like, if you're comparing it to, like, recent contracts, then, yeah, about, you know, anywhere from, like, 15, 17 million makes sense. Obviously, it depends. Like, if he has a monster season next year and breaks out, then that could change things as well. But I think, you know, he'll get paid fairly well, but it's not going to be anything too unreasonable.
Last one, Brandon. Really appreciate the time doing this, man. It's about Devin Booker, and this is one that, you know, Stephen A. Smith brought up earlier this week on First Take. I have no idea why, because it was such a random point to bring up as far as Booker. But he was like, oh, we should go to the Knicks, where it's even more dysfunctional than it is with the Phoenix Suns. He wants the bright lights. He wants to do all that. But I think national media doesn't realize that Booker helped build the renovation of the stadium. He helped put the stadium lighting in place where it's going to be almost like Madison Square Garden. It's going to be very dark in the arena, except the court. He had a really big sway in that happening. He's held as well multiple things with the redesign of Talkies to Resort Arena. So he's had a really big say in the arena renovations as well as team building. I think it's going to be more and more in his favor as we go on to later in his career. But this question from Reddit is about Devin Booker. It's about how many more seasons of mediocrity can Devin Booker take for requesting a trade? And that's from iPug1000.
Yeah, first of all, Stephen A is like, that makes zero sense. That was a head scratcher. But I mean, they need more content to talk about this time of year. So I get it. But yeah, that question's tough. I think, you know, obviously, like you said, he's had a huge influence on like all the decisions they've been making with, you know, the renovations and everything. And I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to be here at least the next 2 or 3 years. The only way I could see, you know, if things go like completely south and they start, you know, backtracking and, you know, get back to the, you know, pre-Monty Williams Suns, then, you know, maybe like 2 seasons from now, he could want out. But I think a lot of this, you know, trade talk is very premature. He's still, you know, in the early stages of his contract extension. So I think at least the next 2 seasons he'll be in Phoenix, probably longer than that, unless, like I said, just things really fall apart.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he's definitely in Phoenix for the next 3 years. I think it's stuff we could talk about maybe in 2023 if all doesn't go well. But you'd hope at that point that Booker in his prime, Ayton in his prime, maybe Mikhail as well in his prime. I think that could make this team a playoff team by then. And Booker, you don't have to worry about him wanting to go to greener pastures in a bigger market. But, Brandon, appreciate the time as always, man. We're going to have you on more often throughout the offseason here and throughout the season because, of course, Suns basketball is resuming at the end of this month. So we'll be talking more basketball with you. You can follow him over on Twitter at AZ Sports Zone. Brandon, appreciate the time as always, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This is fun.